In the depths of my sleep, Elise was gently shaking my shoulder and urging me to wake up. Mum, wake up. It's time. For a split second in my foggy state, I thought it was my baby girl, Elise, who'd often wake me on behalf of her younger sister, Diana. Diana always was too scared to walk the long, dark passage to my bedroom at night, so she'd send her older sister to get me. But this wasn't a 5-year-old Elise shaking my shoulder. This was my 23-year-old Elise, and her voice was much more urgent. Mum, wake up! My waters have broken! With the aim to save pennies to buy a new house, Daniel and Elise lived in my granny flat for 2 years after they married. This was 17 months into that 2-year period. So much for saving money. A child was on the way. Daniel was madly rushing around, packing his car, while heavily laden Elise came to give me the news. The good news, she wanted me up and ready for this extra special delivery of my first grandchild. As soon as the news had sunk in, I was up and into that shower as quick as a wink. This was it, people. For me, this was the only news that mattered in the whole world that day. We'd all been waiting for 9 months. We'd all been joyfully expecting for 9 months. But now it was happening. And that inner joy, which had been there all along, was bubbling over. I tell you, I wanted to honk my car horn all the way to the hospital. I wanted to shout it on the streets as I drove. I wanted every nurse and every doctor in that hospital to tend my daughter, because this was good news. This made me very, very happy, for this was the beginning of grandparenting for me. Hallelujah. If you love grandparenting, shout hallelujah. Okay, now we've got a couple in the cry room, I think, that are grandparents. They should have shouted. That was for them as well. But thank you, Graham and Sharon Robb. I really appreciated that. Yeah, grandparenting is wonderful. And by the way, the story I've just told you was exactly 13 years ago. He turned 13 yesterday, didn't he? Yeah. And Elise was in hospital, obviously having the baby, and then she had her hospital thing on, and she left hospital to sing at our carols service and then went back to hospital. How about that? That's what you call dedication. That's a pastor's kid for you. That's a pastor's kid. So, and just so that you know, I'm not lying about my excitement. Look, this comes with having a pastor that's a nana, so you just have to put up with it, people. Okay, here are a few pictures to back it up, all right? Okay, have you got them there? In order of appearance, we have Ezekiel, then we have Levi, then we have Toby, then we have Macy, then we have Harvey, then we have Jarvis. Oh, I'm going Evie, sorry. Then we have... Billy. Who's that one? Hang on, stop. That's... Okay, that's Billy. Yes. Okay, I got out of order here. Then we have Raphael. And then we have Evelyn. And then we have... That one should be Jarvis. Yep, that's Jarvis. And then we have... Was it? Oh, okay. Then we have Zara. And then we have Theo. Yay! Look at that. That was really good. I know. See how excited I am? I still get really happy when I look at the photos. Let us pray. Lord, you are our Saviour and friend. It is truly wonderful to know you and to be loved by you. You have done so much for us, more than we could ever repay. Our future is so very bright in you. And the knowledge of this fills us with great joy. Amen. Oh, okay. Sorry. Sorry, Oakley. You're right. There was one more after that. Oh, look, I've just... that. There's so many of them.
13, that's Oakley.
That's Theo. Okay. Sorry, Jackie. All right, she's watching online because she's got a sick child today. All right, can I start now, Elise? Thank you. Around Christmas time, I always take a mental picture of a pregnant Mary riding into Bethlehem on a donkey. Does any other woman do that, or am I the only one? Because, you know, giving birth is really hurts, and I'm so amazed. Every time I look at that, I think, I wouldn't have wanted to have done that in there. Anyway, Mary, by the way, would not have been a miserable woman. She would not have been subject to depression, even if she was a little uncomfortable having to travel so far to Bethlehem. And then when she arrives there, there's no place for her to stay but a stable. But as hard as the lead up to the birth of Jesus was, it is my strong belief that Mary wasn't miserable. On the contrary, Mary would have been full of joy. How do I know this? I'm so glad you've asked. Well, apart from the fact that the source of all joy was in her womb, God, the mind boggles, the source of all joy was in her womb. Joy begins with God. And if the knowledge of this didn't affect Mary joyfully, I don't know what would. Every time the baby kicked, God was kicking her. We could all do with a kick from the Lord every now and then. Well, Mary literally got a kick from God. Yes, the source of all joy was in her womb, but she was also full of joy because she was expecting. She was expecting Jesus. Mary was expecting. Now, the one whom the ancient prophets have been talking about for centuries, she was about to deliver. She was literally expecting Jesus. That's what they call a pregnant woman, isn't it? Expecting. She's expecting, she's expecting, she's expecting. I saw an expecting lady the other day. I watched her the whole way because I find it so fascinating. She's expecting. Mary was expecting Jesus, and she was full of joy because of that expectation. Let me tell you, God Almighty himself was full of joy expecting the birth of his son too, because he broke protocol when he organized his angels to tell the shepherds in the field about the arrival of Jesus. God hasn't done that too often in the history of mankind, has he? Have you seen an angel singing in a field? I haven't. In fact, I think this is the only occasion he's ever done anything like this. It's like God couldn't help himself when he employs his angelic host to sing to the lowly shepherds parked in the fields watching their sheep. They were just minding their own business. They weren't thinking anything really holy at all. And then suddenly the angels appear and they say, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. A great joy, which will be for all people. Why is it a message of great joy for all people? Well, the news of Jesus gives us great joy because it means we can look forward to the future with great expectation. Because of Jesus, our future is in God's hands, and we can expect good things from him. When we become Christians, in a sense, we become like the pregnant Mary, expecting, expecting, expecting. We're all expecting God's goodness to happen in our lives. Well, we should be if we're Christians. We are full of joy because we are expecting God's goodness. And of course, Christ is now in us too. It's a double whammy. The Spirit of Christ is in you if you're a Christian, and that Spirit brings joy. It does. But also, we are expecting Jesus to show up and be operating in our lives, which brings us overwhelming joy too. Hallelujah. I don't get depressed because I've got the joy of the Lord, and I've got this knowing. Now, I've got 61 years of experience now, but He works things out for you. No matter what comes your way, no matter what tragedy hits you, I do not have to worry about the future. I don't. You know what? Even the men in this church should be expecting. And I'm not talking woke nonsense. Men are men, women are women. But we can all be expecting. It's not just for Christian women. We're all joyfully expecting Jesus to show up in the circumstances of our lives, because His ways are good. And even when we've personally made our circumstances bad, because sometimes we do stupid things, God still helps us through our errors. It's amazing. Listen, I've got the scripture to back this up. Proverbs 10 verse 28 says, "What the righteous hope for brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked dies." What the righteous hope for brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked dies. Who are the righteous? Who? Put up your hand if you think you're righteous. Yes, you are. If you're a Christian, you are a righteous one. Those who believe Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, you are righteous. Our hope is in Him, and consequently, it brings us joy because we have a secure future. Both the close future and the distant future is secure in Jesus, but the expectation of the wicked dies because their expectation is not in Jesus. Where's your expectation? In the article, "Joy is Not Optional" by David Mathias, it states that joy is essential to the Christian life. The scriptures are clear. God's people are both commanded to rejoice and characterized by rejoicing. Our Heavenly Father is not indifferent to our happiness. Joy is not a garnish on the dutiful entree of the Christian life. Joy is not the icing on our cake, but an essential ingredient in a complex batter. It's not that there is only joy, but in our most painful losses and sufferings, we discover how deep the reservoirs of Christian joy run. Only here, in difficulty and darkness, do we taste the essence of such joy, that it is not thin and frivolous and empty, but thick and substantive and full. My family experienced this at my mum's memorial the other day. We were all mourning the loss of my mum. There are some things about my mum's journey with dementia that at times have weighed heavily on me. But when we came to celebrate her life, our joy was true and deep amongst our tears of loss. I felt our Christian memorial for my mum was a true reflection of the joy that God brings, because we saw what she accomplished in her life because of Jesus. And we know that her final destination is undoubtedly a joyful one now she's in heaven with Him. And by the way, I know you've all heard about my dad's beginnings. And my dad's beginnings were pretty rough. But my mum also was born in the same place, Nottingham, which is a very, still is, a pretty rough area of England. When Dad took me back to England and I saw where I was born, I thought, ew, that's awful. They had cameras on every street corner. There's so much crime there. We went to the local gym and I'm sure I was running with all the ex-convicts around the place. It was a scary place. Well, that's the place where Mum and Dad were born, and it was a wartime, so no one had any money, they didn't have any food. My mum knew what it was like to be really, really hungry. And she was born into a family where the father was incredibly cruel. He himself had a mother who had issues. She was a drunk, and she brought him up through World War One. And as a result of his terrible upbringing, he turned into a very nasty man. So my dad married my mum very early to get out of that house. It was a terribly abusive situation. In fact, one time, the only time she experienced joy was when she first went to church. I think she was about 15. And the church was going to have a special little camp. And she'd actually approached her mum and dad for permission to go. And they said yes. But on the day that it came for her to go, she packed a little bag, and she didn't have many clothes. She only had about two dresses. Everything she had was packed into that little bag. Her dad decided she wasn't going to go, so he picked up her bag and just threw it in the fire. And everything she had burnt. That was the sort of treatment she had. It was not unusual for him to just pick up his meals and throw them at the wall, and for him to do terrible things. It was just not good for my mum. So this was her childhood. She knew what it was like to have the poker. She hit by a poker, fire poker. So she had it really, really bad. And then she got saved and she met Dad. And Dad, of course, had a drunkard for a father too. And so, but they both became Christians. And it stopped there. The hurt stopped there. The chain was broken. And my mother never, ever treated us like her father had treated her. She did not. She did not do that. Neither did my dad, because they were born again Christians. She was the first in her family to become a Christian. And everything changed. And the sad thing was, when her father died, there was no one at the funeral. He was a depressed man. But when my mum had died, this place was packed. And it was packed with people who were joyful. It was the happiest memorial I've ever been to. It was just, it's online actually, if you ever want to catch up with it and be blessed, have a look. It was a place full that was celebrating my mother's life. So it had changed. That's what God does. He brings in joy. Her father was extremely depressed and cruel. But that was all gone once she became a Christian. I know it's been said before, but I can say it again. The worst thing that can happen to us, death, actually turns out to be the best scenario for born-again Christians, doesn't it? Death has no sting. The Bible tells us that because it means we get to go to paradise to be with Jesus. You know, that criminal on the cross right next to Jesus, he'd lived a rotten life, he'd done bad things, and he was being crucified next to Jesus. But because he believed in Jesus, he got to go to paradise. And you know what? His whole life would seem like nothing once he gets to paradise. Paradise and lives it with Jesus. Death has no sting. Let me tell you that joy is not optional for Christians. It's mandatory. You have to have joy. It naturally comes with salvation. And God Himself is utterly committed to our everlasting joy in Him. He is committed to our joy. Now, married couples, you should be committed to the joy of your partner. Daniel, do you like to make Elise happy? Because happy Elise means happy Daniel. Okay. John, do you like to make your wife joyful? Absolutely. Of course. Kevin, do you like to make your wife joyful?
I do.
Yeah, we do. You're committed to the joy of your partner. Seamus, do you like to make your beautiful wife joyful? Yes. You are committed to her joy. You don't want her to be miserable. No one wants their partners to be. Robert, are you committed to the joy of your wife? That's it. You got it. Men are committed to the joy of the wife. Same with wives with their men. God Himself is utterly committed to our everlasting joy in Him. He wants you to be joyful. That's why the first message from the angels was saying, hey, look, everybody, you're going to receive my joy. My joy. He is committed to you being joyful because he paid the ultimate price for that everlasting joy. Everlasting joy did not come cheap. It was very expensive. It was for your joy and his joy that Jesus endured the cross. In a nutshell, God is joyful when you experience his everlasting joy. In the Bible, which of course is God's word, joy is often described as deep and lasting, while happiness is fleeting and based on a happening, circumstances. In the English Standard Version of the Bible, the words joy, rejoice, or joyful appear a total of 430 times compared with happy or happiness, which appears only 10 times. Joy is lasting and it satisfies the heart in a unique and marvelous way. Here are a few scriptures about the joy of the Lord. Look at these. Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Psalm 4, verse 7. You have given me greater joy than those who have abundant harvests of grain and new wine. Do you know what? You have greater joy than Elon Musk. That's what that's saying. Greater joy. Greater joy than Elon. You can have all the money in the world and it may not bring joy. John 15 verse 11 says, these things, these are the words of Jesus, I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. 1 Peter 1 verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. That's a pretty good joy, isn't it, if it's inexpressible? Now, mainly, joy has an expression, doesn't it, Elise? Can you show us how we express joy? Just come on up here. Yeah, come on up here. Come on up. Show us a joyful person, please. Okay, all right. I might have had a bit of yelling in there, but you don't... Yeah, that's it. Okay. You can normally see joy. It's really good, but the joy that God gives is so good that it's inexpressible. You know, like, it's just so good. Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. Psalm 32, verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. They all come with the Holy Spirit when you get saved. Isaiah 9 verse 3, you have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. Talking about you, God's chosen people. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. Hey, church. It's obvious from Scripture that Christians should be expecting as we're pregnant with the Spirit of Christ and full of joy. Nehemiah 8 verse 10 says, do not be grieved, the joy of the Lord is your strength. His very own joy is your strength. We need to keep that joy of the Lord burning in our hearts because our joy is complete in him. I'll be honest with you, if I didn't have Jesus, I just wouldn't be as joyful as I am now. I know I wouldn't. I don't know what people are hoping out there. I really don't. But our joy is complete in him. Don't let the world take it away. Don't let the festivities of Christmas take your joy away. As I said before, joy is a fruit, a product of salvation. If you're a Christian, you don't have to pray for God to give you the joy. He already has because you're saved. That's the joy. We have to keep the joy of salvation right in front of us. That takes effort. When I've been praying with other Christians, I always come away even more joyful. I've told you that heaps of times. My heart rate plummets, I get all relaxed, and I'm joyful. When I attend the Wednesday night Bible study or life group, I come away even more joyful. When I worship the Lord on a Sunday morning, even when I make mistakes in songs, I always finish feeling more joyful. When I read my Bible in the morning with my Daily Bread app, I feel more joyful than I would if I hadn't read it. When I attend our caroling sessions with our church choir, I feel extremely joyful. Why? Because in all those Christian disciplines, I'm reminding myself of how good salvation is. And you know what? I reckon as you get older, you see it more and more and more. You know, a couple of weeks ago when we had our first choir session, I was standing waiting for people to come, and then suddenly they all came. And the noise was overwhelming. There were kids, there were all teenagers, adults, and they're all talking to each other, and they're all shining, and they're all so happy. And I'm going, attention, everybody, attention. No one was paying me any attention. They were all so happy seeing each other, and I had to go, would you all shut up and listen? We're about to begin. But they were all so happy, and I'll be honest with you, I took a mental picture of it and I thought, this is it. This is life. I knew I was alive that evening. It was all happening around me and I thought, wow, how blessed am I? This is so good. And it's the same as a Christian when I go for a walk around the park, I take pictures and I go, wow, this creation is so good. And when people talk at me and they say something that fascinates me, I go, wow, this is so good. People, as Christians, we need to be taking pictures of life and go, wow, this is so good. Don't live your life so fast that you don't see the good moments in it. And be joyful about them. Be joyful each day that you wake up in the morning and go, wow, thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Jesus, for my Christian friends. Thank you that I know you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I live in Perth. This is great. There are so many things to be joyful, but we've got to stop and see it. You know, when I was younger, I used to live life so fast. It's like you're always reaching for something, reaching to pay the mortgage off, reaching for your kids to get through school, reach. And now I look back and I think, I wish I hadn't, because I'd love to go back to that time. I'd spend a bit more time looking at my kids being naughty and making me laugh, you know. It just don't live life so fast. Just enjoy the moment. There is joy if you're a Christian everywhere, everywhere. Just enjoy the moment. If you are struggling to feel the joy of the Lord in your life, you need to remind yourself more and more of the goodness of the Lord. Yeah. You do. You do. You need to keep the good news right in front of you and not let it go. Speak God's word over yourself all the time, over your children all the time, even when they're being so naughty and you think, oh, they're making me want to cry. Just speak the word over them. In 2015, Luke and I went to pick up a beautiful puppy for my mum and dad. It was roughly a 1.5-hour journey to get this precious puppy. On the way, Luke was driving and I had the GPS in my hand, and I would say every 10 minutes or so, it's only an hour and 110 kilometres to go before puppy pickup. And then I'll go, it's only 50 minutes and 90 kilometres before puppy pickup. And then I'll go, it's only 40 minutes before puppy pickup. We both realised that we were becoming more and more excited at the prospect of getting this puppy, because we were feeding each other's hope, expectation and excitement. As a result, our joy grew. We had such a great time that on the way home, Luke said to me, that was so much fun. I've really enjoyed getting this puppy with you. Can I have a picture of the final baby picture? That is, see how happy I look? That's joy. That's my dad's dog, okay? So his name is Caleb, which is Hebrew for dog. So such a clever name. So we just really enjoyed it because we were expecting and feeding each other's expectation. People, as Christians, we need to feed each other's joy. We do. Life has a way of whacking joy out of people. You know, I get this mental picture of me holding joy and then someone coming up behind me and whacking me on the legs and the joy flying out of my hands. Don't let life whack the joy out of you. If you feel you are lacking joy right now, listen to me. It's as simple as this. Refocus. Refocus. Get back into your salvation. Get back into your salvation. See what the good Lord has done for you and what the good Lord wants to do for you. He truly wants the absolute best for you, honestly. And what you think is the best for you might be different to what the Lord thinks, by the way. There are so many treasures you haven't yet discovered in Jesus. Let's all be expecting Jesus this Christmas. Let's continue to be excited in Him. Christmas is great when you're a Christian. Amen? Amen. We can really sing those carols and mean them. Now, next week, we have this wonderful opportunity to just show the joy of Jesus to our family, friends, and enemies. Invite them along. I don't care who they are, just pull them into church. Have a good time with them. We've got so many gifts we're going to give out. We've got even a new Christmas gift we're giving out this year. So everyone has the opportunity to win a gift. And I don't know, it just might be the time that your friend might receive Jesus as their Saviour. It's going to be a great time. Please do not waste this time. Now, we've got invitations that you can use to give to your family and friends. So come up to me afterwards and I'll give you some invitations. But please be here next Sunday and don't come at 10 o'clock. Come at 5, between 5 and 6:30, and you will not be disappointed. We're going to have a great night. And let's pray for salvations. Can we all expect together that Jesus is going to show up? And our friends will see who he is next week. We're going to take communion right now. Would those who have the trays please distribute the emblems? Hallelujah. And once you have your emblem, will you please stand with your emblem? Corinthians 11 verse 23 says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes.'" Today, as we partake of the bread and the cup, let us remember the joy that we have in Jesus. The joy of salvation is in us. And let's be thankful for what Jesus has done, because it's only because of his blood and his body that was given as a sacrifice that we can truly experience the joy of Jesus. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the joy that you give us. We thank you, Lord, for how precious the Christmas account is. And there's so many sermons that can be preached from it. But Lord, that joy is just wonderful that comes with the Christmas message. And Lord, I pray as we partake of this bread and this cup, that today, Lord, we will be refreshed in you, Jesus, that we will put our salvation as our focus, Lord, and that the joy of our salvation once again will be renewed today as we remember what you did for us. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for your body. Amen. Let us eat of the bread. Let us lift our cups and say, till he comes, till he comes.